Hello and good morning, church. For a few months now, we have been on a journey of knowing God through his names, attributes, titles, and metaphors. Last week, we talked about Yahweh El Roi, which means the God who sees me. We learned that God sees us when we are hurting, distressed, when we are used, scared, when we are neglected, discarded, and marginalized extensively by the powerful and abused by loved ones and those we care about. And because our Kinsman Redeemer sees us in our misery, he hears us when we call upon his name and comes through to our rescue, because the God who sees is also the God who hears. He is the God who redeems and buys back our hurts, brokenness, and misery. He did it by suffering himself and paying the ultimate price as a ransom for our sin and salvation. He is a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, his people. He became sin, he who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. However, God may not always rescue us Superman style, but he comes through in his own way, in his own time, and in his own season. Because he is God. He shows us compassion and takes away our fears and anxieties. He fills us with peace and joy unspeakable. He surrounds us with his love and comfort. He turns our ashes into beauty and our sorrows and weeping into joy and dancing. And we rest in the sufficiency of his grace. Today we shall explore yet another name of God, Yahweh Rohi, also known as Jehovah Ra'ah. That's Hebrew. Meaning, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The name Yahweh Rohi appears first in Ezekiel chapter number 34, verses 15 to 16, which reads in the New International Version. Verse 15 says, I myself will shepherd, tend my sheep, and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. However, the best known and loved passage about God as our shepherd is the 23rd Psalm, a psalm written by a psalmist by the name of David, a man after God's own heart. This psalm has long been where God's people have found deep and abiding comfort when going through tough times. So if you have your Bible this morning, Quickly, please turn with me to Psalm 23. I am going to read verses 1 to 6. And once you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. So Psalm 23 is our text this morning. In the New International Version, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing." Other versions would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, and refreshes my soul there. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows," or runs over. Verse 6, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that sense is the word from the Lord. May God drive his word to our hearts, for our spiritual understanding, our spiritual nourishment, and transformation to his glory. And somebody said, amen. You may be seated, and God bless you. In our text, the psalmist employed the metaphor of a shepherd. In order for him to add flesh on the bones or to recall the blessings he enjoyed from the Lord, God Almighty. This imagery of a shepherd is a natural one for David, the shepherd boy, and now king and worship leader, who in Psalm 78, verse 72, shepherded God's people with integrity of heart and led them by the skillfulness of his hands. That is called servant leadership. In the ancient Near East and Israel itself, shepherd eventually became a metaphor for kings, as well as the religious leaders, sometimes referred to as shepherds of God's people. They were, however, often scolded for failing to watch over the flock correctly. And here is a biblical background. Shepherding, though despised by society, was a mutual occupation and a crucial practice back in the Old Testament. A family's wealth was measured by how many sheep, goats, cows, horses, camels, and donkeys they owned. Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David were all shepherds. To sustain their livelihood, it was important for shepherds to keep the animals from straying, protect them from thieves and wild animals, and provide them with extensive pastures and fresh water. So Israel traveled from place to place like nomads, living in tents while seeking pasture for their flocks of sheep. The shepherd's responsibility was to count each animal to ensure none of them had gone astray. At night, sheep were kept in simple enclosures, caves, or walls made from bushes to protect them from preying animals who would devour them at night while the shepherds slept. The shepherd ensured their safety, however, by sleeping in the opening of the makeshift sheepfold, right in the door. And that's why Jesus said, "I am the gate," because shepherds slept right at the gate. You couldn't get to the sheep until you pass through the shepherd. Before David fought Goliath, he thought so. "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." You find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 to 35. That is the anointing of God on David's life. Killing a beast like that would be an act of God. Because you and I know that if you met Mama Bear out there in Banff, you have to run for your life. Because a bear is no joke. Okay? But David grabbed it by its hair and killed it, struck it down, and grabbed the lamb from the mouth of the lion or bear. That was an act of God. So when God's hand is upon you, you can do the impossible. And that's why we need the anointing on our lives to do what God has called us to do, because we can't do it with our own power. For that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And what makes a difference is the anointing on your life. Now, referring to the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In the New Testament, Jesus identified himself as that good shepherd prophesied by Isaiah. A shepherd who cares for us because he loves us. So in 1 John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is also called the great shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And he is also called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Now, let's delve into Psalm 23 and explore some of the ways in which God, as shepherd, protects, provides, directs, leads, guides, comforts, and cares for us day in and day out. First, Yahweh Rohi provides for our physical and spiritual needs. Because Yahweh Rohi, our shepherd, is God and sustainer of our lives, he provides both physical and spiritual needs. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, the Bible says in the book of James. I want you to imagine the challenge of finding pasture in a dry, rocky country like Israel. For much of the year, shepherds would have been on the move, searching for the suitable ground to graze their sheep. That meant moving sheep from dangerous country where thieves or predators might attack the flock. It meant sleeping out in the wilderness and risking your life for the sheep. The shepherd, however, provided everything the sheep needed in order for them to thrive, including safety and protection. So in verse 1 to 3, David knew that the Lord would provide everything he needed, just like shepherds do for their sheep. God was going to provide green pasture, which is a metaphor, still waters, and a restored or renewed soul. Even in great affliction, David knew that God would meet him at his very point of need, because he is a caring and loving shepherd. Just as a good shepherd will provide everything his sheep need for their well-being, Yahweh Rohi provides for his children everything they need. We may not receive everything we want or everything that will make us comfortable, but God's sheep will never lack what they need to live a godly life before the Lord. For God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through Christ. Can you confidently assert that Yahweh is your shepherd? Can you? Is God your shepherd? Do you have everything you need for life and godliness in Him? Can you root your confidence deeply in His character and concern for you? Do you trust that He will give you everything you need? Do you trust that? Are you able to rest in His sovereign, wise providence, knowing that in Him we live, move, and have our being, and without Him we can do absolutely nothing of value? I'll let you answer those questions in your heart. Second, Yahweh Rohi restores our souls and guides us in righteous ways. Yahweh Rohi restores our souls and guides us in righteous ways. Verse 3c says, God restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We, like sheep, are prone to wander away from the will and purposes of God. We are often tempted to get off the trail by taking moral shortcuts, trying to help God accomplish His will in our lives. We are prone and we like to follow the lures and attractions of this world. But Yahweh Rohi is committed to leading us on the right path, the path of righteousness. Not the path of darkness, but the path of light. God will lead us in righteous ways when we let Him do it. And guess what? I said lead. He will lead. He will not drive you into his will. He will lead you gently into his will. And your desire is to follow that leadership, that guidance. Why do we trust God? Because he knows what is best for us. He knows us than we know ourselves. He knows where the dangers and traps of the enemy are. We don't always see what he sees, but we should learn to trust that the paths he leads us on are the best for us. It's not always pleasant to be in the will of God. Sometimes the will of God will make you lose relationships and friendships. Sometimes the will of God will make you feel lonely, like you're the only one trying to do the right thing. And we are people of affection. We like to be liked. We like to be loved, to be appreciated, to be empowered by what other people are saying about what we are doing. But once you're in the will of God, sometimes there will be nobody to encourage you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 in the New International Version says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your way straight." That's all we need to do. Acknowledge him and submit to his will. And it shall be well with you. Even when the going gets tough, God will be there to protect you and to guide you, to lead you in a way everlasting for his namesake. Third, Yahweh Rohi protects and comforts us when we are despairing and tormented by fear. Yahweh Rohi protects and comforts us when we are despairing and tormented with or in fear. Verse 4 of our text says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We have no reason to fear when we walk through life's darkest valleys of suffering, pain, and death. For if God be for us, who can be against us? I like to say it this way. If I be on God's side, who can be against me? Because most of the time, it's easy to claim you're on God's side when actually you are not walking in the ways of God. You're walking in your own ways. And in name only, you are claiming to follow the Lord. But when you make a conscious choice to be on God's side, I don't care what you go through, you will trust the God who has begun to do a good work in your life, who will bring it to accomplishment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and submit to his will. "Not my will, but your will be done," Jesus said. So the Bible consistently portrays death as an enemy. But David trusted that Yahweh Rohi would protect him even as he faced the enemy of death. A shepherd's rod and staff, which David alludes to, are symbols of protection. The staff that shepherds carried, they use that to fight back against the animals or anybody trying to intrude. And guess what? They were skilled with that weapon. Just like others were skilled with the sword, how to fight with the sword, these people knew how to use the staff that they carried as they took care of the ship. So, don't say it's nothing, just a stick. No, they knew how to use it skillfully. And they had confidence in it that it was going to fight back the lion. So that brought comfort to the ship. Yahweh Roi is fiercely committed to protecting us from danger. And we must rest in that, because that should bring us comfort, knowing that the God who is well able to do anything that we ask above and beyond what we are thinking according to his will provide and protect us. Now, this protection does not guarantee freedom from affliction. It does not promise an escape from physical death, because as you may know, David died. But Yahweh Rohi promises his comforting presence as we face despair and death and the challenges of life. As we go through rough terrain and tough times, he promises comfort and peace. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, our chief shepherd. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and chief shepherd. If you know your shepherd, you will stand on that scripture, because that promise is for you as a child of God." Which brings us to our fourth and last point. Yahweh Rohi assures eternal life through his amazing grace. Yahweh assures us his eternal life through his amazing grace. Verse 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is quite an affirmation. The Hebrew word for table here means a skin or leather mat, like a makeshift table that hunters or shepherds used at the time. So he said, "I spread these tables made out of skin in the bush, on the ground, with abundance of food because of your provision, surrounded by wild animals and enemies would want to attack the ship." David is saying that you provide a table in the presence of my enemies. And then oil is for healing given to the wounded ship. And it also means the Holy Spirit given to us by God freely. By grace, we don't earn it. It's a gift from God. And then he says, my cup overflows. It spills over, which symbolizes abundance. Abundance. Yahweh Rohi had prepared a table of sweet fellowship for David in the presence of his enemies. Even the presence of his enemies and hostility could not disrupt that fellowship between sheep and shepherd that we get to enjoy as children of God. It is a fellowship characterized by goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. I don't care what you're walking through, shadow of suffering, shadow of death, valley of death. The goodness of the Lord will overtake you. The mercies, the love of God will follow you all the days of your life, and nobody can stop that. Nobody can snatch you from the hands of God because he loves you. Goodness and mercy foreshadow fellowship with God, which begins now and spills over into the life to come, where we're going to spend eternity with God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, David knew that nothing, not even death, could separate him from the love he enjoyed and experienced with God, and that which he was going to experience in eternity. Even at the end of the age, he will still dwell in the presence of the Almighty God. Centuries after David wrote, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. That's John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28. Now, the gift of eternal life that Jesus is talking about here comes through trusting that Christ died for our sins, confessing your sins to him, and asking him forgiveness and cleansing. Those who do that can confidently assert, the Lord is my shepherd. And here is my closing illustration. The master of ceremonies in a concert called upon a young little boy to recite Psalm 23. So the lad made his way to the platform and recited the psalm as eloquently as possible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. His diction was a flawless and articulate rendition. When he was finished, everyone applauded and gave him a 5-minute standing ovation. It was amazing, to say the least. The following next person to come on was an old man. He wobbled onto the platform and began to recite the 23rd Psalm. And his voice was cranky, like cutting. He said, the Lord is, and he was shaking, my shepherd, I shall not want. He stumbled his way through the song. And when he was done, people dropped to their knees because they could not contain their emotions. Others were heard sobbing. So someone asked the master of ceremonies, why the difference in response? The MC responded, the young boy knows the song, but the old man knows the shepherd. He has a deep personal relationship with the shepherd. So here's a question for you in closing. Do you have a relationship with the shepherd? Do you know God as Yahweh Rohi, my God and my shepherd? Do you hear his voice calling you? Would you recognize it? When you give your life to God, you will recognize his voice guiding you through the rough terrain and the clutter of life. No matter what you go through in life, remember, God's grace as a shepherd is always sufficient for you. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over you day and night. Guess what? You are in good hands. Every eye closed, God's presence. And as you meditate on what you heard today, what is the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit saying to your heart concerning the message you heard today, and what do you think God wants you to do about that? Father, we thank you for your word, for it shall not return to thee void, but accomplish the mission for which it was sent. Pray that this word shall not fall on solid ground, shall not fall on thorny ground, but it shall fall on soft, fertile ground, germinate and bear much fruit that will last to the glory of your great name. Please give us the courage to seek to be in relationship with our chief shepherd. He cares for our needs, physical and spiritual. He knows what we are going through. He understands the pain that we carry, understands when we go through the valley of the shadow of suffering and of death. His goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of his life, and he will provide that comfort that we need. Thank you, Lord, that you are that shepherd who will meet us at the very point of need, who will be able to give us the grace we need when the going gets tough. For his grace is sufficient for us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us as we part company, because we ask it in the mighty, marvelous, and worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you.